You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Amen. We have been doing this for a while, more than 7 years. Amen. Today's broadcast is Minister Vanessa Williams, His Abounding Grace. Amen. Her topic today is I Will Be With You. God will be with you. We're excited about the word that God has given Minister Van, and we pray that you will be able to share this particular broadcast with somebody that needs to be encouraged, amen, because that's definitely what will take place, amen. But before we get started, amen, with Minister Vanessa, I wanted to remind you that Minister Van is here with us on His Abounding Grace every Tuesday at 7 p.m., declaring the French Word with Reverend Pat Randall. It's a Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Friends is Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is Sundays, but it's the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwen is every third Monday of the month, amen, at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Alston Green, Clovis Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-4999. Again, the number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-4999. I encourage you to go and check us out on our website, whenchristianspeak.com. You find out a little bit more information about us and the different hosts. If we have some podcasts available there, please follow me and check us out on Facebook. Amen. We have several Facebook pages that we like, and like us and join us and that kind of thing. And as always, if you have a desire to sow a seed into the ministry, you can do so by going to whenchristianspeak.com and clicking on the donate now button. Amen. So with that being said, y'all be getting ready for an awesome word from Minister Vanessa Wim. Amen. On His Abounding Grace, I will be with you. Amen.
Good evening and praise the Lord, everyone. I hope and trust and pray that everyone's doing well this evening. This is Minister Van, and I just want to share some words of encouragement with you today, especially during these troubling times. Just a word from God. The topic for this evening is, I will be with you, says the Lord. I will be with you. How many know He did say He would never leave us, He would never forsake us? So the topic this evening is, I will be with you. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, thanking you, Lord God, for your grace and for your mercy, Father. Thanking you, Lord God, that in spite of everything that's going on, Father, we still have you. In spite of everything that's going on, Father, you are still in control. We know that nothing happens without you, your permission, Father. So, Lord God, in spite of everything that's going on, Father, we are expecting you to get all the honor, glory, and praise out of so many miracles that are going to take forth on the land, in the land, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. Lord God, you told us that when your word goes forth, it would never return unto you void, that it would go out and accomplish that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. So we're claiming that right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that ears are open so that they can hear and hearts are open so that they can receive everything that you would have for them today, Lord God, so that they can take this word and share it with others to encourage one another with with it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Well, again, our main text is going to come from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, 43rd chapter. And it reads as this. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Again, I just want to encourage somebody that God is with you. God is with you. So we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to just go on a journey, if you will. We'll visit Abraham and see how, just like God said he was with Abraham, we know this is the same God we're talking about today who's with us. For you see, God is, throughout scriptures, God promises to be with his people. He promises to care for us, to protect us, to guide us, and never, never, never to abandon us. So even when you find yourself going through some tough times, remember, God is still with you. He's still walking with you. Remember these words. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Some background before Abraham comes on the scene. It's right after the flood, Noah and the flood. And Noah has a son, one of three sons called Shem. And so Abraham is a descendant of Shem. So in Genesis, the 12th chapter and the first verse, the scripture says, God had told Abraham, leave your own country behind you and your own people and go to the land I will guide you. If you do, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, and you will be a blessing to many others. The third verse says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And the entire world will be blessed because of you. I want you to think about those words for a minute. The entire world will be blessed because of you. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out following God's instructions, and God was with him. In verse 17, when Abram was 90 years old, God changed his name to Abraham and reminded him of his promise to make him a father of many nations. So in Genesis, the 21st chapter, first and second verse reads, then God did as he had promised, and Sarah became pregnant and gave Abraham a baby son in his old age at the time God had said. And Abraham named him Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God required. Now this time Abraham was 100 years old. You see, because of God's promise to Abraham, he never left him. Yes, there were times when Abraham did things that were not pleasing to God, but God was faithful to his promise. He never left Abraham. Yes, there were times when Abraham and Sarah, his wife, did things that were not pleasing to God, taking matters into their own hands, but God was faithful to his promise. He never left them. So then Abraham has a son. His name is Isaac. And Isaac later marries Rebekah, and they have twins. So yes, there were times when Isaac and Rebekah did things that were not pleasing to God, but God was faithful to his promise. He never left them. So let's go to Genesis, the 25th chapter. Genesis 25th chapter, starting with the 19th verse. This is the story of Isaac's children. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Isaac pleaded with Jehovah to give Rebekah a child, for even after many years of marriage, she had no children. Then at last she became pregnant, And guess what? She became pregnant with the twins. The 22nd verse lets us know that it seemed as though children were fighting each other inside her. She says, "I can't endure this," she exclaims. So she asked the Lord about it. And he told her, "The sons in your womb shall become two rival nations. One will be stronger than the other, and the older shall be a servant of the younger." And sure enough, she had twins. The first was born so covered with reddish hair, the one would think he was wearing a fur coat. So they named him Esau. The other twin was born with his hand on his brother Esau's heel. So they called him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins Esau and Jacob were born. You see, in Genesis 27 lets us know that a chain of events happened. There were lies, deceptions, and trickery that occurred, and this would cause Jacob to leave his home and start on a journey that would change his life forever. But God was faithful to his promises, and he never left Jacob, as he was with his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. God was with Jacob. Esau says he is starving, and his younger brother offers him some soup in exchange for his birthright. Esau foolishly agrees. We see here that Jacob valued the birthright more than his brother. He stole his brother Esau's birthright. For you see, it was the firstborn who was entitled to a double portion of father's possessions, and the birthright entitled him to become the family head. Now, I want to mention here that God does not condone Jacob's willing and dealing, but one thing is apparent: God never left Jacob, for God was faithful to his promise. Faithful to his promise. So, the 27th verse lets us know that one day, in Isaac's old age, when he was almost blind, he calls for Esau, his oldest brother, his oldest son. Esau says, and Isaac says to Esau, "My son." And Esau says, "Yes, father." Isaac says, "I'm an old man, man. I expect every day will be my last. Take your bow and arrows out to the field and get me some venison and prepare it just the way I like it, savory and good, and bring it here for me to eat, and I will give you the blessings that belong to you, my firstborn son, before I die." Now, this time, Isaac was 137 years old. We later learn that he did live many, many more years. From one commentary, I read that perhaps Isaac thought that he was about to die then because his brother Ishmael had died at that age. Regardless, Rebecca overheard the conversation. This is Isaac's wife, Rebecca, who was Esau and Jacob's mother. So when Esau left for the field to hunt for the venison, she called her son Jacob and told him what his father had said to his brother. Now, Rebecca's trickery was very unnecessary, you see, because we learned from Genesis, the 25th chapter, that God had already promised the blessing to Abraham. And he told her, remember, "The sons in your womb shall become two rival nations. One will be stronger than the other, and the older shall be a servant of the younger." Let me ask you a question. How many times have you gotten in God's way and tried to help him? How many times have you decided to take matters into your own hands because things weren't happening as quickly as you wanted them to, or they weren't happening the way you expected them to? How many times have you gotten in God's way and tried to help him? You know, sometimes I believe we don't think God is hearing us, or perhaps we become impatient and we get tired of waiting. It's a lesson for each of us. So let's look at what Rebecca did, okay? Rebecca says in the 8th to 10th verse, "Now do exactly as I tell you," she says to her son Jacob. "Go out to the flocks and bring me two young goats, and I'll prepare your father's favorite dish from them. Then take them to your father, and after he has enjoyed it, he will bless you before his death instead of Esau." But Jacob says, "But mother, he won't be fooled that easily. Think how hairy my brother Esau is, and how smooth my skin is. What if my father feels me? He'll think I'm making a fool of him, and he'll curse me instead of blessing me." And his mother Rebecca tells him, "Let his curses be on me, dear son. Just do what I tell you. Go out and get the goats." Now, we know from this story that Jacob does follow his mother's instructions. He goes out and he brings the the goats to his mother so she can prepare them in her father's, in his father's favorite way. So then she took Esau's best clothes that were in the house and instructed Jacob to put them on. And she made him a pair of gloves from the hairy skin of the young goats and fastened a strip of the hide around his neck. Then she gave him the meat with its rich aroma and some fresh baked bread. You see, she did all this so that Jacob could fool his father and to believe that he was his son Esau. Sir Walter Scott said, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive." You see, we learn from this story that Jacob was able to fool his father Isaac, doing as his mother had instructed him. He lied to his father Isaac, deceiving him, and in doing so, he received the blessing that was meant for the oldest son. He received the blessing that was meant for his brother Esau. Now, although Rebekah planned the deception, Jacob was equally guilty for complying and going through with it. And we'll later learn that Jacob reaped what he sowed. Yes, God did bless Jacob, because God does not go back on his promises. But Jacob still did suffer the consequences of his actions. And you know, I believe that Rebekah suffered from this as well, as we later learn that she had to send her favorite son, Jacob. And yes, I believe that was her favorite son, Jacob, a mama's boy. She had to send him away so that he wouldn't be killed by his older brother. Remember, Jacob always stuck close to his mom. He always stuck close to his mother, Rebekah. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You see, after all of this trickery, their mother Rebekah learns that Esau starts plotting to kill his brother Jacob because of what he'd done. So this mother, who favors one son over the other, begins to plot again about how to protect her favorite son Jacob. She thinks of herself. She thinks to herself, the best thing to do is for him to leave the area and give his brother Esau time to cool off. This is what to do, she says to her son, Jacob. Flee to your uncle Laban's house. Stay there with him for a while until your brother's fury is spent and he forgets about what you've done. Then I will send for you, for why should I be bereaved of both of you in one day? Get this. I thought this was interesting. In studying this, I found it very interesting that after she tells her son Jacob to leave, she then goes to her husband Isaac and plants this idea in his head, since he's the head of the household, to get his agreement to send Jacob away. For she says to Isaac in verse 46, "I'm sick and tired of these local girls. I'd rather die than see Jacob marry one of them." And Isaac agrees. So Jacob leaves home. And then, you know, it would be more than 20 years before he would return home to find that his father was still living, but his mother had passed on. But God was still with Jacob. God never forgot his promise to Abraham and to Isaac. Chapter 28 lets us know that Jacob leaves home, and that night something happened. The 11th verse of chapter 28 of Genesis says, "He stops to camp at sundown. He finds a rock for a headrest, and he lays down to sleep, and then he dreams." Here Jacob is that night. He's dreaming that a staircase reached from earth to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down upon it. At the top of the stairs stood the Lord. "I am Jehovah," he says, "the God of Abraham and of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on is yours. I will give it to you and to your descendants, for you will have descendants as many as dust. They will cover the land from east to west and from north to south, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants." Verse 15, "What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go, and will bring you back safely to this land. I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you all I am promising." No, God's promises are yea and amen. You see, even though we miss it sometimes, and yes, we miss it a lot often, at least I know I do, even though we are disobedient, God still blesses us because he promised he would. Just as he was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's with us today. "What's more, I am with you and will protect you wherever you go. We see here from these chapters that God visited Jacob during a time when I imagine Jacob was suffering from guilt. He was probably thinking about his past. He probably was thinking about what had just happened. He probably was thinking about how he had and his mother had used trickery to deceive his father, and how he had tricked his brother out of his birthright. And I believe that Jacob's heart was probably filled with regret for the past, loneliness in the present. For nowhere does it say that anyone went along with Jacob here. And seems like he might have been alone. And I also believe he was uncertain about the future. And God, our wonderful loving Father, lovingly visits Jacob in a dream at a time when perhaps he needed God the most. And this is the first time that I read that God visited Jacob directly. God made a covenant with him, as he had done with his grandfather Abraham and with his father Isaac. What's more, I will be with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. What an awesome promise. What an awesome promise. God's telling us right now, he's with us, and he's going to protect us. Yes, in the midst of this pandemic. Yes, there is bad news all around us. But guess what? There is still good news in the midst of this bad news. There is good news in the midst of all this. The good news is God is still on the throne. The good news is nothing happens without God's permission. The good news is God is still our protector. Now, I cannot tell you and I cannot explain to you why these things are happening, but I do know that nothing happens without God's permission. And I do know that this too shall come to pass. God says, what's more, I am with you and will protect you wherever you go. So let's fast forward to Genesis, the 29th chapter. Genesis 29th chapter. Jacob arrives at his uncle's house. And he sees beautiful Rachel. We learn that Jacob finally arrives at his uncle's house. He sees Rachel. He falls in love with her. He works for his uncle in exchange for being allowed to marry Rachel. We also learn that Jacob is deceived by his uncle and tricked into marrying Rachel's older sister Leah first. But eventually he marries Rachel. Let me pause again. You remember what Jacob had done to his brother Esau? How he had tricked him out of his birthright? Remember how Jacob had tricked his father, had deceived his father to believe that he was his son Esau? Now we see that Jacob himself was just tricked into marrying Leah when he had asked to marry Rachel. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But guess what? God never forgot Jacob. He kept his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He kept his promise. In Genesis, the 35th chapter, the 27th verse, we learn that Jacob did eventually return to his father's house. He eventually returned to his father Isaac. The 27th verse says, so Jacob came at last to Isaac his father, where Abraham too had lived. Isaac died soon afterwards at the ripe old age of 180 years old. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Esau and Jacob did reconcile. They did restore their brotherly relationship. Thank God for that. And God kept his promises. As he was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is with you today. So, my friends, during such a time as this, we need to remind ourselves of God's promises. We need to go back in time and see where God has brought us and trust his word. We need to trust that just like he did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God is with us today. And his promises are yea and amen from the beginning to the end. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It's only when we do this that we will confidently stand still and trust and know that this is the same God, and that God is God, the great I am. I had to pause and take a drink of water, so just bear with me for a minute. God is so faithful to us. He's so faithful to us, brothers and sisters. This God, who is the great I Am, is the God that rescues you, and He'll be with you always. He's the God that comforts you. He will be with you always. He's the God that befriends you. He will be with you always. He's a loving God. He's a God that forgives you. He will be with you always. He's the God. We're talking about a God who remembers you, heals you, loves you, and blesses you. He's a God that will be with you always. He is our strength. He is the one who will strengthen us. He is the one who strengthens us. God is our protector, and He's with us today as He was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whatever situation you may be in at this very moment, just rest in the knowledge that God is the God that cares, and He is still in control. Psalms 46, the Living Bible paraphrase says, God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. And so we need not fear, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. You see, God's faithfulness towards us has stood the test of time. God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. Is trouble knocking at your door right now? Is fear trying to overtake you right now? Is sickness in your family right now? Has your family experienced death right now? Has your family heard news of bad news or turmoil right now? Are you going through financial struggles right now? God is still God, and He's still with you. Turn to Jesus. Let Him be your refuge and fortress, your hiding place during this time. Turn to Jesus. Trust in His word and do not fear. Even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the seas, God still is the God that protects you. Whatever may be going on in the world right now, stand still, my sister, and trust in God, for He is still the God of peace, the Prince of Peace. My brother, you may be facing a situation where sadness tries to overtake you. Just stand still and trust in the sacred home of the God above all gods, for there is a river of joy flowing, and all you need to do is step into that river right now and allow His precious spirit of peace to immerse you in total, unspeakable joy. This joy says that, yes, while there may be stuff going on around me, while this may be a difficult time for right now for us, yes, while things all around us may be shaken, this joy that I have is deep down on the inside. Let it flow through you right now, my sister, and be that river that never runs dry. I'm talking about the unspeakable joy, that joy that man can't give you, the joy that only comes from God, the joy that only knowing Jesus, God's Son. So I say to you today, stand still and know that the same God who will be with you always, who will be honored by every nation in the world one day, is the same God I'm talking about today. And guess what? He's never forgotten you. He's never forgotten you. You may be in quarantine right now. You may feel like you're all alone. You may feel like your family may have forgotten you. You might not be getting calls. You might not be getting check-ins, welfare checks or whatever. But guess what? God sees you. He hears you. Yes, even in the middle of the night, He hears those moans, and He hears those cries. He sees those tears, and it's God. He is the comforter of all comforters. Just rest in Him. Trust Him. Lean not to your own understanding. Go to God in prayer with confidence. With confidence. I want you to think about that for a minute. With confidence. God is faithful. James 1:6 says, when you go to God, go to Him in faith, don't waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, when you allow the door of unbelief to open, you give the enemy an opportunity to wreak havoc in your life. When you allow the door of unbelief to open, you give the enemy an opportunity to deceive you. When you allow the door of unbelief to open, you give in to fear, false evidence that appears real. And when you give in to fear, you begin to doubt. And those seeds of doubt would breed deception. Deception breeds deception. The spirit of fear will paralyze you and say you are crazy for standing still when you should be doing something. The spirit of fear will cause deception to breed doubt in your life. The spirit of fear will cause you to doubt God and even cause you to back off from approaching God in prayer. God says, I will be with you. God says, I am with you. I say to you today, stand still and know that God, the great I am, the great deliverer, the great miracle worker, is with you today and will never leave you, even if man does. So I say to you today, be comforted in the knowledge that God is still the great I am. Be still and know that He is God, and without Him, there is no other. The Bible lets us know that this God I'm talking about right now is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. This is the same God that was with Noah. This is the same God that was with Abraham. There's the same God that was with Isaac. The same God that was with Jacob. The same God that was with Joseph. This is the same God. And guess what? The same God is with us today. He's with you and He's with me. All He wants us to do is trust Him. And lean not to our own understanding. Because again, He did not tell us we was going to understand everything. The Bible lets us know that Jesus says that you're going to have tribulation in the world. You're going to have tribulation. But Jesus also tells us that He's already overcome the world. So greater is He that's in you than he who is in the world. Let me say that again. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Because God has already overcome the world. So, my sister, when you feel like all hope is gone, this is the moment when you need to pause, stand still, and wait on the Lord. Don't trust your senses. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't give doubt an opportunity to show up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. When you feel like you are all alone, my friend, this is the moment when you need to pause, stand still, and wait on the Lord. And remember, says the Lord, I am with you. I am with you. Wait patiently on the Lord. For the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Wait for your morning. When you feel like the earth all around you is seeking sand, you need a safe haven. This is the moment when you need to pause, stand still, and wait on the Lord. Stand still, knowing that with God, all things are possible. Let me say that again. With God, all things are possible. When fear tries to show its ugly grip, take a deep breath, pause, and make a determination. This is your defining moment of truth. I'm going to stand still, and I'm going to wait on the promises of God. Stand still, knowing that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power. And guess what? A sound mind. A sound mind. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The great I am is still on the throne. When the Israelites were fleeing from Pharaoh and became frightened, Moses told them to stand still and hold your peace. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I'm here to remind you today that the same God who said to Moses at the burning bush, tell them, I am that I am, is the same God that I'm talking about today. This is the very God that says, stand still and know that I am God. I'm here to remind you today that the same God who used Moses to say to the people facing the Red Sea, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, is the very same Almighty God that I'm encouraging you to lean into today. God is the great I am, and without Him there is no other. God is the great I am, and without Him there is no other. So I just want to encourage you with these words that God is faithful. He's faithful concerning His many promises. He's so faithful. He loves us so much. He is so faithful to us. And where do you stand in Him? Where do you stand in him? Are you faithful to him? Are you trusting him? Are you leaning not to your own understanding? In all of your ways, are you acknowledging him? God is faithful, just as he was with Abraham, just as he was with Isaac, just as he was with Jacob, just as he was with Joseph. The same God who promised never to leave them is the same God who promised not to leave us today. He's awesome. He's faithful. He's a good God. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Now, if you're not saved, then you might not even know what I'm talking about, what I've been talking about for the past half hour or so. You better wake up now. Turn around and look at everything that's going on, and you better have something that you can lean into. You better have someone that you can lean into, because God is not like man. God is not slack concerning his promises. For those of us who have trusted him and believed and accepted him as our Savior, we believe in his promise of eternal life. Revelation 20th chapter, 14th to 15th verses, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation, the 20th chapter, 14th and the 15th verse. So if you're not saved today or tonight or whatever time it is, wherever you are, if you are not repented of your sins and accepted Jesus into your heart, if you are not 100% sure, you will spend eternity in heaven if you breathe your last breath right now. Listen very closely. Listen very closely. You see, nobody can save you but Jesus. Trust Jesus today. There is only one way to God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. John 14th chapter and the 6th verse, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4th chapter and the 12th verse says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I'll ask you this question, and this perhaps should be the most important question anyone will ever ask you. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? You see, Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You need to admit that you are a sinner. For Romans 3:10 says, for it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The second thing you need to do is be willing to turn from your sins. That's to repent. The third thing you need to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose from the dead. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Through prayer, my friend, invite Jesus to come into your life right now to become your personal Savior. Invite him right now to come into your life. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're sincere and you have not accepted him as your Savior and you want to have that personal relationship with him, you can repeat this prayer after me right now, and trust him at his word. So here it is right now. Just repeat after me. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, dear God, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died on the cross for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. If you just did that, if you just trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, guess what? Angels in heaven are rejoicing right now, and I'm rejoicing right along with them, because you, my friend, have just begun a wonderful new life in him. You have made the most important decision of your life, and that's accepting him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Amen, as your Savior. So read your Bible every day to get to know Jesus Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. He's your friend. be baptized, worship, fellowship, and serve other Christians in a local church where Christ is preached and the Bible is the final authority. And tell others about Jesus Christ. Don't be selfish with this good news. Share this good news with others. Stay safe, my brothers and sisters. Stay safe. Know that God is protecting you. Know that God's promises are yea and amen, and that he's still with you. And know that God is God. God is God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Lord God, thanking you, Father, for souls that have come crying out to you, Lord God. By faith, we believe that some have, Father, and we claim it right now and asking that you seal that right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word that's gone forth, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for people receiving your word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for you told us that when your word went forth, it would not return unto you empty-handed. So we're claiming that right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a vessel to be used by you, Father, to get this message out, to encourage somebody to keep on keeping on. Thank you, Father, for this ministry, when Christians Speak Talk Radio. We thank you, Father, for the host, Reverend Ray Rose. We thank you, Father, for all these things, Lord God. We know, Father, that in this world that we're living in right now, you told us we're going to have trials. You told us we have tribulation, but you also told us you've already overcome the world. So we thank you, Father, for you are the great overcomer, Father. We thank you, Lord God. We're going to stand still and see the promises of God. We stand still, trust you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for strengthening us. We thank you, Lord God, for encouraging us. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you, Father, for all things. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. For you and you alone, God, are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father. Amen, amen, and amen. Go in peace. Stay encouraged, my brother and sister, and know that the best is still yet to come. It's not over until God says it's over. Amen.